It's Monday, the 16th of January, 2006. You're listening to the Pod Report, and we're going to be bringing global justice straight to your ear. Hello, Pod Report.
Have a nice day.
Welcome back to the Pod Report. I'm Andy Parnell, the host for the show, and we're going to be bringing global justice straight to your ear tonight. Firstly, our website, in case you want to go to it, it's www.podreport.podomatic.com. That's www.podreport.podomatic.com. And if you ever want to email the show, go ahead. It's podreport@podomatic.com. Okay, tonight we've got one big long piece because yesterday I went out walking in the countryside in Wales, and tonight's pod report is a field recording that I did in the wild hills of Wales about the countryside and the unnatural environment that has resulted in what we today see as the countryside, and also the lack of respect for the natural environment that people tend to have today, and the sorts of things that you'll find in the countryside at present in modern-day Britain. So before I do that, I'm going to cut to a lovely song, and I'll tell you what it is straight after the break.
No news is good news, I'm in blissful ignorance. I won't read the papers, I won't look at the television. Too many opinions could cloud my sunshine. Out here walking in the beautiful sunshine, how the weather makes the world seem friendlier, and every corner they don't look so threatening. It must be the day when I can take my chances. If you want to find me disciplined, I could be organized, but I looked out my window and threw it all away. It's oh so tempting to be under blue skies. The road up ahead is a faster to climb. I give it a go, but I'm feeling bone idle. So if you wanna find me, I'll be wasting time. Watching people go by with a drink in my hand, and with you on my mind, you on my mind.
Doesn't that make you just want to go for a walk in the countryside? Yes. That was Pauline Taylor, and she's a UK artist. And if you'd like to know more about her, she's an ex-belly dancer and tequila drinker. Pauline Taylor has had many descriptions thrown at her music, including folking soul and urban campfire blues. Simply, her songs are great, her melodies beautiful, and her lyrics meaningful. And you can go and get her music if you want. You can download it off the iTunes Music Store. Pop onto iTunes, into the iTunes Music Store, and type in A Simple Life Pauline Taylor. You'll see her album there. Goes for about £8. You'll be hearing a bit more of her later on. But I was just going to play my piece that I did yesterday on my big long stroll through the Welsh countryside. In fact, I walked about seven and three quarter miles, so a fair way, up and down the rolling hills, and it was a nice walk. Have a listen. Just getting myself sorted out here, and this is the Pod Report. We're actually at the top of a particular mountain in Wild Wales. There's lots of bracken around, lots of sheep. And this podcast is about so-called natural landscapes in rural areas in Wales. And I'm not sure who it was, I can't quite remember, but there was a famous environmentalist that said that it's not just enough to try and protect the wilderness and protect the natural environment, but you should actually get out there and get out there and experience it for yourself. So we're out here in rural countryside Wales, and we've gone for a walk in the country. And I'm not sure if you can hear the wind, but there's a lot of wind around. It's very windy today. And just looking at the ground, the bracken is all nice and brown. I mean, it's winter, so that's the way it's going to be. And there's lots of sheep around, and of course they're munching all the grass. So a lot of destruction from the sheep, actually. A lot of the bracken tends to be broken and so on, partly from the sheep munching on it. And all the trees were cut down, 300 years ago. So there aren't that many trees around anymore in this part of Wales. And just looking over to my left, where you see the Rogo, which is a hill in Wales, there's a bunch of trees there, very much going around the outside of the fences. A lot of these areas are fenced in. This particular part that we're on at the moment isn't fenced in, and we're just walking downhill to check out the scenery. It's very beautiful, I have to admit. It's overcast today, and it's not raining, but it's overcast, it's windy, and there's lots of bracken. If I look out onto the other side of the valley, there's lots of bracken, and there's a road in between. And over to my right, there's a farmstead with sheds and so on. Anyway, so we're walking down, and in front of us, there's various different reeds and so on. If we look closely at the grass, you'll see various different sorts of fernery and mosses and lichens. So it's quite an interesting landscape. This is about as wild as it gets here, because everything's been munched on and destroyed by sheep and industrial farming. And there's lots of, monoculture, which is typical for livestock-type farming. And we're now up to a part, the landscape changes slightly, and we're now up to a part where you've got sort of prickly shrubs and gorse, I guess you call it. Not quite grown gorse at this stage, but it's starting to appear in this part. Gorse is natural to the countryside where we are. And of course the various types of heather and bracken and so on are also around as we can see it. So we're walking down. In between all that, there's the grass, which has been munched to death. That's what the sheep mostly eat. But they'll munch on everything that's that they can get their hands on. Or, sorry, teeth on. Anyway, so that's the countryside for you. We're still walking, going downhill. And in front of us, there's a whole patch of gorse. It's a huge patch of gorse.
In fact,
it's probably a good idea for us to go around it. So we'll do that. But gorse is the one with the yellow flowers, and it's very, very prickly, so you don't really want to walk into it. And gorse can grow anywhere, just about, as long as it's really wet and rainy, like it is here. And of course, it's growing like wildfire. So, this is probably the more, naturalised parts of countryside Wales. And even then, it's been heavily managed. I mean, if you look at the surrounding countryside, you know, everything's been fenced off. All the trees have been chopped down, so different sorts of ecological situations will occur here. And there's lots of roads and dirt tracks and so on in between it all. So, I mean, at least they're not using loads and loads of fertilizers and chemicals and so on. But they do, if I can find a packet, I'll read out the ingredients, but I can't seem to, I'll have to go and find one. But they do feed the sheep at this time of year because there isn't enough nutrition in the grass and so on. They tend to feed the sheep feed pellets. And what's in the feed pellets? Well, most likely, as normal, what you tend to get is, it's all very boggy and wet here as well, by the way. What you tend to get in feed pellets is soya or maize that's ground up and turned into feed pellets, along with a few other additives. And that maize, or corn as it's also known as, and the soya normally comes on huge container trucks, shipping containers coming in from the USA, and it's 99% chance it's GM soya, because most of the soya and maize in the USA is actually GM, or genetically modified food products. And it comes in on 99,000 ton ships, huge, massive grain ships, about the same size as, slightly smaller than an oil tanker, I'd say, a small oil tanker. So that's the kind of size they are. They're huge. One every 2 weeks comes into the port of Bristol in Britain, and they offload it. It goes to Cargill. They turn that into animal feed, and then it gets sold into the various different farming outlets, where the livestock then gets to eat these bags of pellets, which are put into the animal feed containers, trays and things like that, which are out here in the countryside where we're walking at the moment. So these bags tend to get left around by the farmers. They don't tend to bother picking them up and putting them in the bin. They just leave them lying around. So you do tend to get a bit of litter coming from... You can hear that wind. It's quite windy. You do tend to get a lot of litter coming from rural Wales by the farmers themselves on their own land. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, so what happens? You get this genetically engineered or genetically modified soya and maize turned into animal products. And we find them being fed to sheep in winter out here in sunny Wales. That's the story. Okay, we've hit the roadside now, and we're walking along the roadside. It's quite an interesting place. It's the back of one of the hills in Wales. And just to my left is a Coke bottle and a foil or aluminium foil and litter on the ground. And what happens is cars will go along, they'll eat their crisps or soft drinks, whatever it is, and just throw them out the side and they get dumped out here. So as we walk along, I'll no doubt find some more, and we'll explore that as we go. Oh, here's one now. Not sure what it is. It's a bag of flour. No, it's nappies. Dirty, smelly kids' nappies on the side of the road. Probably full of shit. Pardon my French. Anyway, so we'll keep walking and see what else we find. This is kind of interesting. There's bracken to my left, there's a road to the right. It's on the left-hand side of the road. And we've just seen two Range Rovers drive by earlier. And Land Rover has probably got the worst miles per gallon in terms of... Oh, there's another packet. What's that one? That's vanilla custard on the side of the road. The packet's what's left of it, the plastic container. We're walking uphill, so I'm going to be sounding a bit puffed, but walking and talking is not easy. Anyway, Range Rover. Yeah. Range Rovers, they've probably got the worst fuel efficiency in all of motoring history. They do about 12 to 14 miles per gallon. And to put that in perspective, the original Model T Ford, the black one, the very first car that was kind of built by Henry Ford, did 25 miles per gallon. So we've actually gone backwards after the last 100 odd years. There's a drinks container, 2-litre plastic bottle, dumped on the side of the road. And in front of me, as we're walking up, we've got what's a very interesting thing here. It's a salt grit container. It's a big plasticky kind of thing, same as your compost bin sort of plastic. And inside is salt grit. The salt grit obviously gets put on the roads in winter and stops the snow from forming onto the roads. And I have these containers on the side of the roads in case you need to get out the salt grit. They also have the trucks driving by. That's just in case the trucks don't make it out here in time. That's the salt grit trucks, that is. So anyway, walking along. And yeah, so obviously the salt grit isn't too good for the waterways. But I guess they have to put it on, otherwise vehicles aren't going to go anywhere. Oh look, more litter. Some bottles this time. There's a couple of glass bottles, and there's a can. Interesting. And this is pristine rural Wales, people, just in case you didn't know. Obviously, people have a lot of respect for their landscape and their countryside. Oh, and there's a plastic bottle. So, oh, and there's a Coke can, and the list will go on. Another plastic bottle. This one is Diet Coke. While we're on the issue of Coke, Coke's an interesting one. The Coke can I saw back there, it actually cost them more to produce the can than it does to put the stuff inside it. They have to get the bulk site from Western Australia, where I'm from originally, where there's real wilderness still, although they're chopping all that down as well. And anyway, Coke. Yeah, they get the bulk site from Western Australia, from the northwest up there, and then they ship it, or they turn it into aluminium, they ship it across to Europe, gets turned into cans, they stick some sugarized caramel liquid in it, well, stick a bit of gas in it as well. There you go, got yourself a Coke. And then that gets sold to you for about a quid, or 60 pence, or whatever it is. And you're actually paying mostly for the can and the label, because the paintwork on the outside takes a bit of money as well, you see. Oh, not to forget all the advertising, of course, as well. So, good old Coke. And the stuff inside it is dead cheap. It costs next to nothing. So although you're paying for the drink, you're actually paying for the can mostly. Anyway, we're getting up a pretty tough hill at the moment, so I haven't gone out and walked for a while, so I'm going to feel it. Vicky's alongside me here, and she's got a load of bottles that I was talking about earlier. She's going to try and get them recycled when we get home. Oh, there's another Cake Can. Don't we love Cake Cans? Let's read what's on the ingredients of the Cake Can. This will be interesting. Okay, so I've got the Cake Can in front of me. It's a 330ml Cake Can. It says soft drinks with vegetable extracts. Don't forget, we're in wild, pristine, rural Wales here, with the bracken and the heather and the gorse, and I'm reading to you all about a Cake Can. Kind of ironic, don't you think? Anyway, ingredients: carbonated water, just in case you don't know what that is. That's water with, I think, CO2 pumped into it. Sugar, carbohydrate. Well, it is, it's a fast burning carbohydrate. Colour. Oh, and the type of sugar that they use is normally cornstarch, I think. Corn syrup, which is the cheapest, nastiest sugar you can get. And that's why people get fat, because it's very fattening. There's a Walker's crisp packet I just walked past. I would pick them up, but I'm talking to you about Coke, and I've only got one hand. The other hand's holding the microphone. Okay, let me just get my breath back. Okay, Coke. Where are we? Sugar. Yeah, so it's corn syrup, most fattening sugar around. And then there's colour. Doesn't say what type of colour, but it says, oh, it does. It says caramel E150D. And then phosphoric acid. I like a bit of phosphoric acid, don't you? Always good to help you digest food. Flavourings, including caffeine. I like a bit of caffeine. I get more caffeine from that, from coffee, than I probably do from this. But anyway, they have that in order of most abundant to least abundant in the can. And the company, this is Coca-Cola Company by Coca-Cola Enterprises Limited in Uxbridge, which is in England. Anyway, there's another Coke can. I see a lot of Coke cans on this road. They must like Coke in this part of the world. And there is a little sign here. It says aluminium, it's recyclable. And it also says that you should put it in a bin, in terms of pictorials. So obviously, people in this part of the world are a little bit visually illiterate, or they don't know what it means. Probably both. Or more likely, they just don't care. And I think that's the bottom line here. People just don't care about their environment. There's a cigarette packet. Now, cigarettes have got over 4,000 chemicals in them, most of them harmful to the environment. And of course, the residuals then get thrown out into the countryside. I just went past another Cake Can and past another salt grit container. And we're nearly at the top now. So it's been a steep, steady climb. To my left and right now, I can see gorse everywhere. And of course, they've got no yellow flowers on them because it's the wrong time of year. And lots of sheep poo. But you get sheep poo everywhere in Wales. There's 11 million sheep in Wales. Before the Common Agricultural Policy, there used to be 8 million sheep. And because they did the subsidies on per head of sheep per farm, the farmers obviously stocked up a lot of sheep, and the end result was What was the end result? 11 million sheep, 3 million more sheep than what there would be without the subsidies. Okay, in front of me, to my right, at the top of the hill, there are two cars, a little bay, and there's a motocross, what do you call it? Dirt bike, that's the word for it. And of course they're tearing up here, up and down here, getting their Sunday thrills, and obviously making lots of noise, and having a bit of fun. Oh, we just found a plastic bag which we'll put all this rubbish in and take home with us. Sounds like fun. Yeah, so that's your lot. So just on a walk in the countryside, minding our own business, kind of going out for a natural pristine thing, we have seen so much rubbish, unbelievable amounts of rubbish, unbelievable amounts of environmental destruction. And I don't even have to look far. If I just look all around me, I can see litter everywhere. That's your lot, I guess. That's what the world's coming to. This is, if we look out, we see pristine hillsides. You look a bit closer, and you see the dirty truth. Right, so there we have it. That's Andy Parnell here from the Pod Report. And that's the... that's our walk in the countryside. All right, I'm going to end it here, and I'll see you back in the studio. Okay, I hope you liked that unedited version of the Pod Report in the field as we went strolling about the countryside yesterday. And, yep, definitely my legs are a little sore from that walk. And, well, all sorts of issues were raised in that field recording. Won't go into too much detail, but you can check us out. Go to our show notes at www.podreport.podomatic.com, and if you want to email the show at any time, it's podreport@podomatic.com. Right, we're going to kick off with a lovely tune called "A Simple Life" by Pauline Taylor. And don't forget, you can go to iTunes Music Store and buy her album if you like what you hear. Okay, see you next week.
Enough as it is, from the time we open our eyes, it's a dangerous sport. Then we figured it was all about sex and death, sat there bigging up ourselves and feeling smug. Notice the creases and the cracks in the plan, how the surest of the surest can slip through our hands. Afford to think about it any longer. Need some water and some bed rest for a hangover cure. And we want it easy on the senses, we want it easy on the eye. Easy to be questioned, easy to reply. Easy on the senses, we want it easy on the eye. Easy to be questioned, easy to reply. Much that I don't know and I never will. Sometimes to learn something new, I lose something else. But I know every inch of your skin, the dimples, the aches, the pains and the sins. You said I run from confrontation, don't wanna face my demons. They might give me what understanding and a place to grow old. And I want it easy on the senses, I want it easy on the eye. Easy to be questioned, easy to reply. Easy on the senses, I want it easy on the eye. Easy to be questioned, easy to reply. All of the answers are probably in you and me, but all I want right now is hours of TV. And on Saturdays I only want to dance and squeeze out every Sunday to the understanding and a place to grow old. And I want it easy on the senses, I want it easy on the eye. Easy to be questioned, easy to reply. Easy on the senses, I want it easy on the eye. Easy to be questioned, easy to reply. Easy on the senses, I want it easy on the eye. To be questioned, easy to reply. Easy on the senses, I want it easy on you.